Anyway, we had a great time at Bed Bath & Beyond with the registry gun. I was actually really hungover and, like, annoyed at Jeff because he's very practical, and I kept, and he was annoyed with me because I kept scanning things, like, on our wedding registry is a beach towel that was on Shark Tank.
So what was the pitch for the beach towel?
It's just that it is a scarf that transitions to a beach towel that transitions to a towel, and sand doesn't stick on it, allegedly.
Wait, what's the difference between a beach towel and a towel?
It's antimicrobial.
Oh, it is?
I don't know.
Oh. No, this is just like a scarf. All they did was make a thicker scarf but usually like big, you know those scarves that when you hold them out, they're actually like blankets?
Yeah.
It's just thick enough that it will not break, and also it's less expensive than if you bought that at like a store for clothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Do they have it in keffiyeh patterned?
I hope so. I'm going to wear it at the Floribama. Yeah.
And then fucking Alex from Bottom Feeders will wear it and get his ass beat.
That's so funny.
Fucking Philly.
That is really bad to do. That's like the same as dreadlocks, I think.
Yeah, but
what would be the number one? Like, what would be like the perfect outfit of cultural appropriation? So it'd be the keffiyeh, dreadlocks, a like feather on your head with a bindi.
Hoop earrings, which I do wear, but it is kind of appropriation.
Yeah, hoop earrings are cool, but
gold teeth?
It depends how big the hoop earring is. Because hoop earrings were actually, I saw like the first earring in the Smithsonian, and it was like a small hoop, and it was made by Egyptian. So technically, yes.
Who were white.
Yeah, that's, wait.
No.
No. No, so.
Anyone who built a building that was more than two stories tall was white.
Like
that's what the man with the Roman coin for his avatar on YouTube told me. So,
like holding up ancient Egypt as like a cultural symbol when like modern Egypt is so anti-black, super fucking racist.
Yeah, should we be a Hotep podcast?
No.
Yeah, definitely.
Hoteps are so dumb, but I love their Twitter. Like I love Hotep Twitter because it's just like. Women, like, it's all, like, fake deep, and I'm trying to think of, like, the best tweets. Oh, my God. It's all just, let me find some of the best Hotep tweets.
Okay.
There's this one guy, I actually am worried, because there's this one guy who's a Hotep who's, like, very smart and attractive and from New Orleans, and he, like, hates white people from New Orleans, and I'm very open about the fact that I've responded to him about articles about charter schools and been like, I mean, I went to Sacred Heart, but he retweets me all the time and thinks I'm really funny and he hates black women. And I'm just like, that sucks.
Yeah,
he like hates white people, but I feel like he's nicer to white women than he is to black women. He also retweets a lot of black women. Mm-hmm. He's just like a very like, I think a lot of times with those men, especially online, it's just that like they know that they would never date a white woman, so they're less critical of them because they're like, yeah, go be a disgusting whore. Like sometimes I feel like when he retweets me, he's making fun of me because it'll be like about how my pussy's disgusting or something.
Right.
And so I think it's more of like, look how crazy and awful white women are.
Yeah.
But he also is like really critical and shitty to black women and like thinks that they should abide by like patriarchal standards.
Does he have one of those like RTs are not endorsements things in his bio? Because otherwise it's an endorsement. He's endorsing. Your vaginosis.
The world would be fucking insane if you just were, if like what a normal white woman was you.
Unfortunately, it's close.
If
there were just engineers, like walk. Oh man, that would be bad.
I like, you know how like you'll be like on the toilet and you'll think of something and you're like, that was, someone has definitely said that 100 times on Twitter, and it was Susan B. Anthony. More like women be shopping. Anyway.
That makes me laugh.
I think I have actually seen that exact thing. Did you ever tweet that?
No. Okay. No, because I checked there was like 15.
I mean, you could go with Susan B. Shopping too.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you make a Bloody Mary and a pineapple?
Yeah, he's double fisting. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So I'm a fucking genius. This is the summer drink, though. I would normally have tequila in this, but... pineapple with a little bit of ginger ale and tequila. This is vodka, but
But with tequila and like maybe like some habanero magic in there, that'd be really good.
Yeah, the spicy tequila shit.
Yeah,
fuck yeah, that would.
Have you had ghost tequila? It's like
it's spicy tequila shit.
Jeff's friend makes it.
Love it.
Yeah, it's
I like
good.
Every
it's
time
really
I
good.
Go to Told My Limit, that's what I drink.
It is
straight
delicious.
Up. I mean, not Told My Limit. OK Bar, whatever.
This didn't happen to me, but. it happened to Luke got made fun of for being a hipster for ordering a PBR there, and he was like, "I'm just
oh my god, shut the fuck up
by the bartender." Are you sure? Yeah, this is okay bar.
It's so hacky to like call anything any specific product that someone consumes that's not like part of an overall aesthetic. Like, it's so stupid and hacky to be like, "Oh, hipster." Like, and I used to kombucha before it was like popular, and I now drink it every day, and Claire doesn't drink it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know she was, or no, I did know. I was like making fun of her, and I was characterizing her as like a hipster, like kombucha drinker mm-hmm. or something. And now I drink it every single day. And I like me and the janitor at the school do shots of kombucha. Yeah, how everyone has kombucha. That's how much everyone has kombucha.
I don't know. I like that shit. And like, I associated it with like hippie culture.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even mean to do that. Culture, whatever. But I like made it when I was still in high school and I was living with my parents, and my dad knew who I was already. Mm. So he just did not believe that it wasn't some kind of drugs.
Right. Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
No, I swear to God, this is not drugs. It's just a drugs for your gut. I'm just growing a brain in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. Kombucha is like carbonated piss, but in a good way.
It's delicious. Yeah. I love it. I used to hate it and make fun of it, and then I drank it like two more times and I was like, never mind, this is the best thing in the world. Like, nothing really helps a hangover other than going to sleep. Mm. But kombucha like makes me feel like I'm helping my body.
Yeah.
I think pranks are dumb, but you if someone hasn't had kombucha before, you can always convince them to shake it up. And it'll just explode, and it works every time.
It does smell like dirty feet.
It also looks like, because it's unfiltered, it looks like something that needs to be shaken.
Yeah. I'm okay with dirty feet, though. So.
Ooh, I hate the smell of dirty feet.
I mean, I'm disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what was I going to talk about? I had my first shift in a long time at the bar studio today, and it was like immediately the gauntlet of just horrible people.
Yeah.
Like, and I wasn't even hungover. I'm just talking to not just to talk, mm-hmm. but I did want to complain about this. I walk in and the lights are still off, but there's a 7:15 a.m. class on a Saturday that like the front desk is not required for. But there was this old lady who was already there for an 8:30 class at like 7:59. And the first thing she says when the fucking lights in the building are still off, she's like, "I need to make a return. I paid cash." And I was just like, oh, God. And because we still closed.
What was she returning?
An $80 sweater.
Had she worn it?
No, it was, she bought it 2 days before without trying it on. A lot of people will buy stuff without trying it on because they're sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was a completely valid return, but I don't know how to return for cash. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can't just, like, give people cash. I guess I could, but there was, like, $100 in the register. Anyway, we don't rob us. We don't keep that much money in there. Anyway,
what's the combination of the safe?
There's no safe. Do rob us. but... Anyway, also one dude who was dressed, I swear to God, he was like up all night as a line cook. Like he was wearing like a dirty black t-shirt, dirty black shorts. He took two bar classes in a row at 8:30 and 9:45 and paid in cash both times.
Damn.
And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But I mean, he wasn't creepy. I think he knew one of the instructors, but he stayed after. So he spent $46. I don't know. He must have been having a rough time.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to like... do something that makes you feel like you're turning your life around.
Yeah.
Like,
I think he was like, I'm going to live in this bar studio.
Yeah.
That happened with another guy who was chain smoking, still drunk, clearly coked up. And he showed up at the bar studio at 8:30 and was like, I'd like to take class. I used to do ballet. And I was like, who the fuck are you? And he wore like boxers.
Yeah.
Like he took off his shorts and was wearing like athletic clothes, but it had like a little sack for his stupid dick. And it was just flopping around.
You think he was on meth? That seems like a meth kind of thing.
I don't know. Like, he just seemed like the most LA person I've ever met. Like he talked to me in like a really white savory way. He was like, yeah, I was just trying to help my cab driver. He got pulled over and like I speak a little Spanish, so I was trying to like help translate. But it was like a traffic offense. Like the guy's fine. He was not being like arrested by the police.
Right.
Anyway, it was it was a lot.
I just feel like people that are
maybe he was on meth
up and enthusiastic in the morning about like exercise and they're smoking are probably still
probably on drugs. Yeah. I just assumed it was cocaine because he had a real cocaine energy.
It could be coke too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like you run out of coke, but like you don't want to exercise by the morning. Like if you're still on coke.
Right.
Depends on how much money you have.
Yeah, that's true. I've never had
it. It depends on when you start doing coke. I mean, if he had slept until 10 PM and then like started doing coke at 1 a.m, then he's still feeling good.
I suppose. I mean, if he's got enough coke.
Yeah.
Did you get the drugs that you were looking for?
Boop.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is different about these drugs that you cannot speak about them, whereas you talk about all of your drugs on the podcast?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. It's just not an interesting story at all, basically.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not.
I am trying to buy a bunch of shrooms tomorrow or today.
I want shrooms. I have so much time off work. Let's do shrooms during the day.
Yeah. So excited. You want to take shrooms and go to the pool with me?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
No, I'm too scared of the cool teens that work there.
Wait, do cool teens work at the pool?
Yeah, they're awesome. They're so cool. Nice to me. They call me ma'am because I'm old. Yeah, they're really nice.
I think they have to because they're at work also.
Yeah, but they're also really nice. Like, they're like nice children. They don't think... They're like cool and professional. I actually tweeted at Nord that they have a good staff because I'm 50 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But...
Also, dude, I've been there a bunch this summer and like they have way more staff because like...
They have so many.
It actually is like a... It shouldn't have to be a stressful job. It should be the easiest job ever. They should get stone teenagers and a bunch of them to hang out at the pool and make everyone feel safe, which is what they're doing this year.
Right.
But before... It would be, like, not enough, so they couldn't be high, but they probably were. And then they actually have to, like, look over an Olympic-sized fucking swimming pool and make sure no one drowns.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not a job that you should give to teenagers, really. But, yeah, this year they got enough people, so it's just good times. They're letting us jump in, which is nice.
Oh, they weren't doing that before?
Oh, yeah, you can't dive.
Yeah,
you can jump.
But you can jump. Last year you couldn't jump in, so fucking cannonballs and shit.
It was way better when I went, but I do need to wear goggles.
Yeah, that's what I meant to bring you goggles because I have some extra ones.
Wait, why do you need to wear goggles?
The chlorine is too much. Okay. My eyes get too red.
Yeah.
Also, it's way easier to swim faster if you have, like, if you can, like, look in the water and you don't have to keep your head up.
I cannot swim fast, like, freestyle. I can do breaststroke, like, for a while. Yeah. Not a long time, but for a while. But I can't do, like, what's it called? Freestyle?
Freestyle.
Man, even if you're floating crawl. Around hanging in the pool, it's fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a doggy paddling ass guy. I never really learned to do anything but like float on my back, breaststroke.
Yeah, I never got swim lessons. The only like traditionally masculine thing my dad ever imparted on me was throwing me into the pool when I was a little kid.
Yeah, I got a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, like not his style either. He's like a very like patient and kind and not pressuring.
Were you like crying or you wanted to learn how to swim?
No, I think I figured it out, and he was like, "He's got it."
Yeah. My dad did the same thing, but it was a coal mine.
See, and that have is more working class
credibility than you actually have.
Yeah.
What do your parents do?
My dad is an insurance agent who was a lawyer, and he didn't like it, so he became an insurance agent. He wasn't disbarred. I just assumed that he had gotten like disgraced and disbarred, but that's not actually what happened.
Because he didn't feed Joel properly.
You'll never forget that.
No, I'm sorry. I think that's like the worst thing that you can do as a parent. I think it's worse than physically abusing your kids if you only do that occasionally, because I just think that like food is so important to me.
I mean, I made it.
It's how you show love.
And then my mom was an RN who eventually became like a regulator, a nursing regulator. So she works for the board of nursing, or worked for the board of nursing. Now she's retired.
Cool.
That's a hard ass job.
So if I want to, if I want to pass as working class, I'm like, yeah, my mom was a nurse and my dad's an insurance agent. And then if I want to pass as not, I'm like, my dad.
Insurance agent doesn't seem. That seems fancy to me. Anything with agent.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even
remember. Benjamin thinks that you have too much wealth if you have $2,000.
Yeah.
$4,000.
I feel like insurance agent and real estate agent are typically like a bridge to the middle class, the way that like...
Yeah, it's a job that you don't even need a bachelor's for, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's just like
You can just work hard at it and it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Jessica's an insurance agent. I just
don't really understand what it means because I'm stupid.
It's a job that if you like don't have a bunch of tattoos and if you want a 9-to-5 and if you're willing to take a lot of shit, then anyone who fits into that category can make a decent living doing it, but it sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen American Beauty?
Yeah, I fucking hate that movie.
Annette Bening in that movie is an insurance agent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, a real estate agent.
But also, no,
yeah. All right. That's a different thing, right?
What's a different thing?
real estate agent and insurance agent.
Yeah, no, you were just saying anything with agent. So I'm like, you know, it's not like a, she's not a spy.
Real estate agents can like vent. Also, they can either be rich or poor depending on how
that
much.
That movie to me is about extremely rich people. Like that's a world that I can't
understand.
Okay,
but to be fair, the houses in all movies are never proportionate to the careers of the parents.
Right.
Like they always give people mansions. So like they
They still do it on TV. Like,
yeah, they do that. They're like, oh yeah, this poor family and they're in like a 2-story house.
Or like this like broke millennial in New York and they have like a fucking gorgeous apartment.
Well, real estate, being a real estate agent really scales with the, with, can you can make a shitload of money or you can make zero money. And in that movie, like the running gag is that.
It says this is a bank robbery.
Yeah. Susanna just handed me a note that says, the beef is on the stove. Please turn it off when you leave the house or if you smell burning.
Bye. Good luck. And I assume she's going. Are you going to work? Yeah.
No, she's going to see a movie with some homies.
Oh, fun. Yes, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, then not good luck.
But anyway, the reason I brought up that movie is because she can't sell. She like can't. She's like struggling to sell shit. It's like it's a very feast or famine because you get a commission on the houses that you sell. But if you don't sell any houses, you make $0.
Yeah. Ooh, I hate that. I love stability so much.
Me too.
Oh man, I love it.
I would take a massive, massive pay cut.
For stability.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I love my job so much and I'm terrified because our job security is no more.
I mean, I could probably do it better now, but that was definitely the shittiest part about the moving company was the instability of like having all your money come at the end and beginning of the month when people are moving.
Yeah.
Because nobody moves in the fucking middle of the month.
I'm just like such an anxiety case that like if it's possible that something bad will happen, I just live as if it's definitely going to happen. So if it's like, even if I'm budgeting, even if I'm like making like money in flush months and not making money, like you, if it's feast or famine, I'm just like fucking miserable because I'm just waiting for the fucking shoe to drop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even during the feast.
Yeah. I've figured out a way in my life to like basically never acquire any more money, but occasionally get to like do something fun, like go on a trip whatever.
Yeah.
But then I just blow it all on that trip. But like always have my, like I've said before, always have my zero, my like floor at abortion money.
Now
that's apparently going to be like $40,000.
Right. Well, you know, you just gotta call that seeking arrangements guy.
Yeah, dude. What? How does that work? Like, is he just blanket like giving money to like? Is he just becoming an abortion fund or?
I think that he is getting free press and not going to follow through. That would be my guess.
But I'm sure, I guess he's just a rich guy that was like, yeah, if you need an abortion, ask me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't know what,
yeah,
how he's doing.
Which is not the best system.
No, I mean, like,
For an individual, it's like a pretty good immediate thing to do.
I think so.
It shouldn't be reliable. That's why things like abortion funds are like, a beautiful band-aid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's all they are.
Right. I mean,
for individual people, it can like be like life or death, and it's like an amazing thing to exist, but like it doesn't tackle the systemic problems.
No, of course it doesn't. But also tackling the systemic problems, like we all know this, but you have to do both because...
And I think most organizations that are like New Orleans Abortion Fund or like other like things that do similar things are also lobbying and shit.
Yeah. But also, even if like best case scenario in the short term, you know, these bills don't get actually like they're being contested and it's all dependent on like if the bill in Mississippi that ACLU is challenging, I think does become law, then like our heartbeat bill becomes law, but it probably won't. Just like the amending privileges like never became, or the not the amending privileges,
admitting
privileges never actually became law, even though the clinics are still operating as if they are.
Right.
It's all very confusing and stupid, and it's all like, you know, but best case scenario, like not a law, happens quickly, and like abortion goes back to where it was. It's going to be so fucking long till they're affordable, and like before, like during a less virulently right-wing anti-abortion time, even though it still was like a little bit more quietly, like
a less organized front was happening.
Like it was still very necessary because it's going to be a long ass time till we don't need the band-aid of making abortions affordable. And now they're providing like travel and shit. And like, but we used to have not enough, but we used to have abortion clinics in like the major cities in Louisiana.
Right.
Now we have like, I think, what do we have, like two?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Louisiana is a big, I mean, it's not big compared to most states, but it takes many hours to get from one side to the other.
I mean, it's big compared to any state on the East Coast.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's fucking...
I mean, I don't know. I literally could put three states on a map right now if you gave me and told me to color it like a fourth grader.
I really struggle with
geography.
The West.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I really struggle.
If you gave me a map, I could do all the states right now.
I couldn't.
I'm so proud.
I know. Honestly, I think most of the reason that my like memory is like fresh enough to do that is because when I was a nanny, one of the kids was like obsessed with this fucking like little like magnet map.
Oh yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm gonna remember where New Hampshire is now.
Yeah.
Thanks, little Simon, yeah. Little 3-year old.
How are my nose hairs?
Your mom fucking sucks.
I trimmed them again, but I don't think I got them good enough this time.
No, I think you look good.
I feel them.
Yeah.
I feel the stubble.
No, it looks slick.
Slick?
Yeah, it looks nice nose. And lubed
you
up.
You want to fuck my nose?
Will you bring the Jeff's fucking nose? I want to
Check
it out. I want to have a...
We should do
fucking...
it on air. Yeah.
Yeah, people love that.
Yeah.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. I actually trim my nose hairs, but they're back. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely back. They're getting...
Mine took a couple months, but they were back in full force, and then I did it again.
I pretty consistently stick a scissor up my nose. Yeah. And
we're all very hairy.
Yeah, it's true. It's like one of the things that we do truly all have.
Heavy common is a lot of body.
We're all swarthy, fucking vaguely Jewish.
Yeah. I plucked my happy trail the other day. It's already back. There's no point in not just shaving it. The only reason I plucked it was that when I shave it, you can still see it. Like underneath the skin, you can still see the hair growing. Mm-hmm. So I like plucked it so you couldn't see it.
You're like hairy and fair, which is a rough combination.
Right, it is. Yeah. Also the places that I get tan are not places where I get like black pube body hair. Like I have
you don't
pubes.
Tan your pussy
like yeah. Crunchy.
You can see it right now. My pubes. This is like pubic style hair. Mm-hmm. And it
she has
down.
Pants on. By the way,
I have on pants. Yeah. I'm wearing shorts.
She's wearing shorts, and she's pointing to a spot about 13 inches away from her knee.
Yeah.
On the inside of her thigh, and saying this is pubes.
No, this is. It's actually like 8 inches away. I don't know. What are inches?
I mean, if I took my pants off, it would look like I just had hairier pants on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not that hairy. I got like. It's concentrated. I got the most pubes, but that's it.
Yeah, and I have just the thickest pubes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just so much.
I'm.
I would wager that mine are more ridiculous, but I like trim because, like, honestly, you like. I got a pretty okay dick, and you would not be able to see it. I didn't do anything about it.
Flaccid or erect or both?
I don't know. Flaccid, I have a clitoris. And. Erect, it's the size of me, so it's 4'8".
I was talking to one of the 4.5 people who listen to the podcast, and she was like,
"Is it that she was the like people with 4.5-inch dicks that listen to the podcast?"
No.
But our little dick gang
she was
out
like,
there, shout out to everyone.
She was like,
last cock.
"You and Benjamin talking about being growers, like you're the most oppressed people."
Who was it? Oh, you can't say.
Well, yeah, I just don't want to put her on blast, but it was funny.
Because it's embarrassing to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, yeah.
I'm with you.
Did you listen to this week's episode?
With Jeff Dean? No, but...
Did I include the part where I said that you should be ashamed of him? You should only be ashamed of yourself if you listen to the podcast.
Yes. I didn't listen to it, but Han messaged me about the stuff. I feel like he would be comfortable with me. We had a good conversation. I was deeply hungover, so he spoke. I mean, it was via Facebook Messenger, but he spoke a lot more eloquently than I did. But he took some. He offered perspective on my view of like the messaging being tighter.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, and it was basically like, no, you can't really say women's rights without excluding it people. And as Benjamin pointed out off air, and as other like trans men have pointed out online, and like obviously, like of course, this is something where you need to acknowledge trans men in the debate. And just I do think that he had a good point. He was like, the messaging shouldn't be women's rights or human's rights. It should be reproductive rights or human's rights.
Yeah,
and I think reproductive rights is fantastic. I think
that's plenty good. Succinct.
Yeah, it's plenty succinct. Yeah. And I think we can say reproductive rights, but I just don't like uterus havers or menstruators. I'm just like there. If you have to refer to, honestly, I'd so much rather just say women and trans men, like cis women and trans men, that's also succinct to me. Mm. Like, it's just being like, I just feel like saying uterus havers is so dishonest in its like sterility.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's like, you can just say exactly what you mean instead.
Yeah.
I think
it also brings sort of like an awkward attention to the physicality of a person.
Yeah.
To like,
yeah.
Describe them so like clinically and biologically.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like.
Also, let's just get Han on the podcast.
Yeah, he should do the pod. Why haven't we asked Han yet? We should do that.
I mean, if he listens.
Yeah, he listens to every episode.
Oh, dude,
Hear this. Yeah. But yeah, and we had like more conversation. I mean, he liked the episode, so it was a call in.
Yeah. We got to get that voicemail bag up. So that one person a week. I mean, I'm stoked that Han listened and got in touch with you, but I do think that it would mostly be Alex.
Yeah.
Being like, you got a stinky garlic penis, my friend.
Wait, why did he say that?
Because I talked about using Papa John's garlic butter as lube on the last episode.
I remember you saying something about that. And I'm sorry that it was on the last one.
That's horrible.
What were you doing again?
I was using Papa John's garlic sauce that comes with every pizza that you dip the crust in. And I dipped my penis crust in it and used it as lubricant.
How old were you?
I would say about 25 years. No, I was... It was the beginning. It was like before I could come, probably.
Do you remember the first time you busted?
I don't know what age I was.
But do you remember it?
Yeah.
What were you thinking about?
I don't know what I was thinking about. I was mostly thinking like something big is about to happen and I'm afraid.
The world is censoring us right now. I hope this is getting picked up, but there's just beeps out there.
Don't talk about your baby dick. No, I was basically, I remember like being close. Like, I don't actually know if I was capable of it because I never got there because I was just like something big is about to happen and I'm not sure I'm ready for it. And the sensation was extreme to an extent that I was like, I don't know if the next thing is going to be really good or really, really bad. So I just didn't. So,
I mean, Lil Death, dude, it's kind of scary. It seems like you might die.
Well, no, definitely. And one thing is funny.
Wait, but okay. So were you purposefully making your parents order Papa John's because you were like, I want that garlic butter?
I'm sure I would have figured out that like vegetable oil exists if that hadn't, it was just like, oh, this is kind of slick. Oh,
there wasn't even any like lotion.
I put it in the freezer.
Oh, smart boy. Yeah. No, it was a, yeah, I mean, I got there, I used lotion, like my mom, ever the St. Bernard lass, every time, like, she eventually was, when she
That's
was,
a place in New Orleans for everyone who doesn't listen from New Orleans, he's not calling his mom a dog.
Yeah. but yeah, she...
Ever the bitch, my
she,
mother.
She would... Eventually, late in her career, she was traveling a lot for conferences and shit. And every hotel she went to, she stole dozens and dozens of tiny bottles of lotion and shampoo and shit. Like, you know, like how like every time they come in and clean your room, they like check to see.
I always steal that shit.
Yeah,
I always steal like a towel.
So she made 100% sure that every time they came in, she had like they thought she had used every single bottle. So she would come back with just bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles. And so that was my like stash of lube was lotion was like hotel lotion for a really long time.
Yeah. I was doing a comedy festival and it was like me and two other comics like in the hotel room and we ran out of toilet paper and like I went to the front desk and I like asked them for more toilet paper and they were like, we supplied your room with enough, like they just did not believe that we weren't like stealing, and I was like, I guess we just take a lot of shits and I don't know,
we drank a lot of beer and it comes out
somehow
a little bit at a time,
right?
Yeah. Did you put stuff in it or you just went straight for the juice?
I put celery salt, but I didn't see any other spices that I would have liked in it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I threw
no Worcestershire.
Oh, where was the Worcestershire?
It's on the counter.
All right, wait, I'll be quick.
Just drink it. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're like, stop leaving.
Yeah.
I wish I'd...
Benjamin's making me talk about everything I've ever used as lube. So
my headphones are getting all...
Yeah. I could talk about everything I've ever fucked myself with at home. Like,
do it. Go.
Phallic things in the refrigerator.
Okay. Like things you said on this podcast.
Hairbrushes.
Yeah, yeah.
The bottom of the hairbrushes.
The handle part.
Yeah. Remote controls. Let's see. What else?
You're bearing
controls.
The lead. Remote controls.
Did the buttons hurt?
I mean, I was like a baby, so I didn't get it in that far, but I tried to put a remote control in my
How
pussy.
Old were you?
I was probably like 13 or so.
That's not a baby.
I know, but I mean, sexually. I mean, I had sex when I was 14.
I mean, a baby is sexually a baby.
Right. But like sexually at 13, it's not like... I could have had, like, even at 14, it was not, my body was not ready for sex.
I have so many questions. did the remote control ever mysteriously break?
All I remember is that I felt guilty that my parents touched the remote control after I'd done that, even though I cleaned it.
Story. What else?
I'm just picturing your parents in the other room, like, why are the channels changing?
But also, I thought that there was something wrong with me because I saw all these representations of, like, when the reason I was doing this was not because I was deriving any sexual pleasure. Mm-hmm. It was because I had only been able to come from, like, rubbing my, like, clit on things.
Yeah.
Like, and so I thought that my body was broken. So I was trying to shove shit in me, like, does it work this way?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It never did, and it never will. And it wasn't until I was, like, in my early 20s that I heard, like, I always forget that, like, 10 years ago, I actually did need to hear all the things that everyone's, like, tweeting and, like, that.
Like, 30, representation 000. Matters shit.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
No, it super, super does.
Yeah.
Because on TV, you never see anyone who comes from anything but vaginal penetration.
Right, yeah. And you don't even realize, and people, like, are like, oh, well, then you don't have a G-spot, which is sort of stupid because you can still come from vaginal penetration, like, with the assistance of your clitoris if you can't come just from vaginal penetration. But they make this, like, binary of, like, you either have this body or this body.
Okay.
Wait, no, yeah.
Okay, so we were having sex.
Talking about my
I think yesterday, and she said, do you like me? And I said, yes. And then she said, am I pretty? And I said, yes. And then she said, am I a genius?
Am I a genius?
And then we just laughed. I was like, yeah. First of all, I said yes, and then we just like laughed, and then my dick got soft because I was just laughing too hard.
That rules.
Isn't that really funny?
Izzy several times has called me a sex genius.
That's and, nice.
I feel like it doesn't take that much mental capacity.
You've
to
done
be
a bit
like
about this.
Keep fucking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's
thank you for snitching on me for a bit that I forgot that I did.
the standards. Sorry. It's like this. People are constantly pointing out that the standards for men's parenting are really low. It's like every time you see a dude at the grocery store with his kid, everyone's like, you
know, right.
Is that Lucy Kay? Like somebody does a bit about that.
Yeah.
Like, bravo, sir, whatever. Like, it's the same with sex.
Right.
Like, you get so much credit.
Right. Yeah, and I also think that, like, I don't know, as much as I think that men should go down on women, I also think that I don't like going down on men that much, so I've sort of I just think it should be proportional. I think that, like, oral sex, as long as both parties enjoy it, it should be proportional. And also, I think it's still acceptable for a lot of guys to be like, well, if you don't trim or shave, I'm not going to go down on you, which I think is, like, maybe not in our circle where, like, it's not acceptable for men to criticize women for, like, not shaving their legs. You know what I mean? But, like, in America.
Broader culture.
Yeah, in the broader culture, not just, like, I'm thinking of, like, my liberal coworkers. I feel like my liberal coworkers still think, like, oh, if I was, like, going on a date, I would, like, shave my pussy. Does that make any sense?
Well, okay. So here's what I'll say. I think it's totally... I don't fucking...
Someone who
I don't
who
condemn
has, yeah.
anyone for shaving, waxing, doing whatever.
Right.
You know, essential oils or whatever. But it's fucking shitty to be like, if you don't...
No, it's shitty. I mean, and it's still acceptable. Like, guys that I know who are, like, not misogynist. I mean, I don't think that if a guy says that, it's like, he's canceled. I mean, I think it's a dick move.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's, you can still be a nice man who's very nice to many, many women. But, like,
yeah.
But a guy who I know who you know, told me that, I shouldn't say it because we all know who it is, but was like, yeah, it's just like, it's too long. Like, he was like, it's okay to have hair, but it's like too long. I'm like, what are these arbitrary standards? You don't even have the genitalia that I have. You don't even know what you're talking about. Like, all you have to do, I used to do a joke about this, but oh man, I forgot about this. I was like,
open the elevator doors.
Yeah, but all you have to do is just like, move the labia.
Yeah.
Like, don't go in hands free, right, idiot. Yeah, yeah. Or ask me, don't just like put your face, like, what are you doing when you eat pussy? You just like put your hands behind your back and use only your face, like you're like, bobbing for apples.
It's like people who walk through bead curtains face first. Yeah. Like, where are you? Come on. If you just move, there's.
Yeah, just move it.
There's
separate
no beads
it.
If you move yeah. it.
I will say, I still am really, really bad about having toilet paper in my pussy constantly. It's disgusting.
I do think that that is worth complaining about.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is.
But, I mean, I don't know. I just, like, people.
But also,
fine.
Waxes, I mean, you do get stubble at some point during a wax, but I do love a good wax. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to get it waxed for my bachelorette party, even though I'm obviously not going to be fucking. Michael's doing the big arms, like, maybe, maybe you'll fuck your husband's sister who will be there. Or your cousin or your best friends from childhood.
Wait, something about waxing, making it look like a time before you had pubes, waxing nostalgic. I don't know. There's something
that's,
there, right?
That's
good. That's good.
Yeah. I didn't figure out how to say it, but I've been.
That is a weird thing. That's why I can never, like, I can never get the full wax because it was like, oh my God, this is what my pussy looked like before I had pubes.
Yeah.
Waxing nostalgic.
That's so funny. Yeah.
There's a poet named Hannah Gamble who has a line.
Oh my God. It's, no, it can't be.
Huh.
I feel like I know a Hannah Gamble. Anyway, keep on going.
Short, platinum blonde.
Nope.
Dyed hair. Okay.
Nope. There's another horrible Hannah Gamble.
No,
from Shreveport.
This lady's not horrible. She has
fuck you, Hannah.
I meant to say
another horrible, not another horrible. Anyway, go.
She just has a line about like looking at her stubbly vagina and being like, it's like a plucked chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It does look like that. And especially right after they wax it, it looks so sad. Like, you know, after you take the cat to the vet and it won't talk to you or it won't hang out with you.
Yeah.
It just like scowls at you. It looks so mad. Like it's like really red and irritated and it's like puffy and it bleeds everywhere.
Yeah.
And they put a bunch of powder on it.
What did the vet do?
It's like when you shave a cat at the vet and how the cat like looks humiliated.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what it looks like when you shave a pussy waxed.
I think about like the if people are like if you owe it to someone to go down on them, I think kind of you do with someone that you're like fucking consistently, like, but you just got to make it enjoyable for the person that's doing it. It's like sort of on you a little bit if that's something you want to make it fucking fun for the other person.
Or not even, it doesn't even have to be fun, just like not.
It should be fun.
Well,
not
what
horrible.
Do you mean make it fun for the other person? Like, make sure your pussy's, like, clean?
Just fill you gotta fill it with Jolly Ranchers.
No, more of, like, a vibe thing than anything else. Communication. Yeah. Just, like, figuring out, like, what you both actually, like, want to be doing.
Mm-hmm. I just think there are a lot of women who, like, can only come from that.
Yeah.
So I think that, if it's all that you can come from, especially if you're with a new person, so, like, you're gonna be less... I mean, some people...
I'm also talking about, like, a dude getting your cocks up. Like, if you, like... If you think someone that you're sleeping with consistently, like... should be going down on you and that's something you fucking want, then like figure out a way to make it enjoyable for them to suck your cock, because otherwise like fuck that, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of goes both ways, obviously. There's like fucking gender dynamics there, but like just, I don't know.
Sex should never be obligatory.
I think I might actually be a sex genius.
I don't think so. I mean, I think that...
Oh, I'm certainly not.
Can you do a Dr. Ruth impression?
I love Dr. Ruth.
Whoa, that's weird.
We just watched the documentary about
her. Did y'all ever jerk off to Dr. Ruth?
No.
Really?
No.
Really? No.
I didn't know about her. I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Yeah. So I don't even think I jerked off to like Dr. Ruth while it was on. I think I jerked off thinking about Dr. Ruth because I would go over to my friend's
thinking
house.
Thinking about what she said or thinking about
the
woman?
The program, show.
Yeah, okay.
So I had a friend who had like HBO and all the like special, because she was on some weird like one of those like 204 channels. But anyway, I would go over to this kid's house. And we would stay up until like 4 in the morning just waiting for something like dirty to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go home the next day and just like beat off to whatever I thought about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but you didn't like whatever jerk I saw it to yeah. Dr. Ruth.
I mean, I would have had I
yeah
had like some privacy,
dude. Yeah. So in the documentary about Dr. Ruth, I thought this when I was watching it, I was like, oh man, Benjamin would be like completely off her by now. So in the in like 1946, she was an amazing person her whole life, but she like in 1946, I believe she.
Helped Nazis escape.
Yeah.
No, she did escape from Nazi Germany, but it was like long after that because she was never like her parents died. So maybe it was like it was still when she was really, really young, like she was in her 20s and she enlisted in the Israeli army as a sniper, but she never killed anyone. She just was like worried because
so she was
were
a bad sniper.
Well, she never. So she enlisted as a volunteer sniper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like if it ever came to it, she would kill people. But she said at the end, luckily, I never had to. Also, her family all was murdered in the Holocaust. So I could see why when people were killing a bunch of Jews, she was like, I have to help. But she never did kill anyone.
Well, I mean, I think even like the anti-Zionists have to have some sort of understanding yeah. for. Yeah. Like, yeah. Israel in the 40s.
Right, yeah.
Like, I think, I mean, like, there were definitely, like, problems from the jump, for mm-hmm. sure. And even, like, before that, before, like...
But we certainly have different standards for Dr. Ruth than we do for, like, American Zionists right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, I don't think that she's a Zionist.
Definitely different standards Maybe. For American Zionists right now. But I think, basically, up until, like, the Six-Day War, there's so much more of a... like argument for like the legitimacy of Israel as a state and like not as an aggressor. Mm-hmm. But when they fucking had a coordinated attack against every single one of their fucking neighbors and like seized a bunch of land, like from there on, I think you at least have to like be pretty hypercritical of that mm-hmm. state as a state.
Yeah, I agree. I actually don't know a lot, and I don't really know about... When was the Six-Day War?
67.
67, okay. So I've, like, tried to learn, but whenever I do it, I read it all at once, and I don't absorb mm-hmm. it. And I took, like, a... It's pathetic how much I've tried to learn this. Anyway, regardless, I intuitively understood that it was a lot different in the 40s.
Everything that Benjamin just said went right over my head, because I was trying to think of a joke about Brazilian landing strip, Gaza Strip.
Oh,
Dr. Ruth calling her pubes the Gaza Strip.
Anyway, Dr. Ruth is still an amazing person, and she never even killed any Palestinians, so it's okay. Yeah.
A Gaza Strip is when you consider rogue pubes an enemy combatant when they're still far too young.
You have no idea how amazing it is. What I've always wanted, like how, and I thought I was like the person to think of this. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, people have been saying this forever, but. Like, I hate sex positivity because it's always still horny. It's, like, horny and positive. Mm-hmm. But I like talking about sex in a way that is, like, I enjoy sex, but it's not super horned up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's, like, sex is, like, obviously a thing that is, like, for supposed to happen in a very, very specific time. But not all discussions of it have to be really right. weird. And I feel like a lot of sex positive people who are into, like, I don't know, a lot of sex positive people, even ones that I really, really like who I want to have sex with... Like, when they have, like, a crush on someone, they have to be like, ooh. Like, I can't explain it, but just, like, people that act horny all the time piss me off.
Well, I'm sorry. So,
you don't act like that. It's like a twee, it's like twee sex.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so. I mean, I think that Dr. Ruth, is she dead yet?
No, she's still alive. She just turned 94.
She occupies, because she's always been, like, as, like, when she has been known as Dr. Ruth sex therapist mm-hmm. lady, she's always been this, like, I think... I don't know what the facts are, but my feeling is that she's always been this sort of like desexualized postmenopausal thing person. Mm-mm. No?
Well, I in her career, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm no, what I'm saying yeah. is what Although I'm saying she was is a that
sex
like
therapist,
she,
before she was a public sex therapist, before she was postmenopausal.
Right.
She was a sex therapist.
Well, no, I mean for sure. I'm just saying that like
as a public
that,
like, figure.
As a public figure.
That's why she was able to do it.
That's why she was able to do it.
Well, she said that she was like, I think it's I can't do a voice. I think it's cuz it's yeah, it's just going to be a male
I
Jew
think
voice.
It's the guy.
I think it's because
it's a World of Warcraft gnome voice. Yeah. Anyway,
but she says she's like, I think it's because I'm 4'11 and I'm not gorgeous,
right?
Like she said that
yeah,
herself. No, and another thing I love is that when she was young, she wasn't gorgeous, but she was really attractive, and it made me realize like being beautiful doesn't matter. Like, she fucked so many dudes. She married this, like, really, she had, like, an amazing career. She married this guy that was like, I'd fuck him. And they had an amazing marriage. Yeah. And, I mean, she married three dudes. And,
at the same time.
And no, but she, the last one stuck. And she, like, had a great life. And it was the exact same as it would have been if she was, like, really, really hot. So I'm not saying that, like, pretty people don't have advantages. But sometimes I, like, measure my entire worth as a woman by whether or not I'm physically attractive. And I was like, eh, Dr. Ruth could, yeah, she got it her whole life.
Yeah. By the way, I wasn't, like, saying it's, like Dr. Ruth got famous because she was ugly and sucked.
I know.
It's just, like, an interesting thing.
Because women at her age are usually, like, at the age where she became a public figure, are usually invisible.
Right.
And so, like, it's less, like, her being visible is really cool in one way, but also it makes sense because people don't know what to do with them because they're, like, not... If they haven't already become famous but when they're, like, young and hot, and if they're not maintaining the, like, facade of still being young and hot when they're in their 50s, like, women are just like, yeah.
I also think culture was at a place with talking about sex where, like, it had to kind of be, like, funny and novel for anyone to take anything seriously. Although, like, it would have been harder for, like...
I didn't know this. She was, like, pro... AIDS victims before, like, when people thought that they were, like, murderer, like, when people thought that they were fucking zombies, Dr. Ruth was speaking out for gay people. She was speaking out on behalf of, I mean, they make it sound a lot more heroic in the documentary, but it actually was kind of heroic because Dan Rather was like, you can get this from a Petri dish. And she was like, you're hurting people.
Yeah.
Like, it was really cool, actually. Anyway, so it wasn't totally...
She actually tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan with her sniper skills, but she missed because she just couldn't
hit
anything.
She doesn't talk about politics, and she won't call herself a feminist, and honestly, I respect it a lot.
Boy.
Her dumbass... No, I respect it a lot because she's super... Okay. See, I hate... I'm a feminist, fine. But I hate the fact that, like, feminists, like, fucking put a gun to your head, and they're just like, why don't you want to call yourself a feminist? It's like, why don't you just let my actions and, like, who I am as a person speak for me? Like, the idea that if you don't call yourself a certain word, then you're, like, anti the movement. And if you do call yourself a word, that it fucking means anything is so stupid. Especially because old-timers, like, old-time people, they assign different meanings to the word feminist, and that does not make them less feminist just because they don't want to call themselves that. Like, Dr. Ruth is, like, explicitly pro-abortion, like, explicitly anti-candidate, like, political candidates that are not pro-abortion. She's been explicitly pro-gay people before the left was, like, publicly.
I think there's a thing with, like, people calling themselves a feminist or not calling themselves a feminist, like, whatever specific label people are, like, shunning or accepting, where everything has become so individualized that it's like, are you individually this thing? Do you identify with it? Is it part of who you are? Not, are you connected to this
movement.
Larger movement?
Right.
And that's like, those are two different things that get conflated all the time.
My hang up is...
I agree, but that's not really what I was talking about.
My hang up is that, like...
My bad.
When
no, it's
you,
okay, but I do agree.
When you... like, don't adopt a label because you feel like people are holding a gun to your head and saying, like, do it or die or whatever, you're letting, like, an extremely vocal, stupid minority dictate, like, who's in or who's out. Like, for example, like, I, like, call myself a leftist and I think that I'm, like, pro-social justice or whatever, and people... I'm sure there are lots of people who would be like, no, you're not perfect.
Right.
And, like, the idea of me being like, I'm not a leftist because leftists are these people who hold a gun to your head. It's just like, it's
that's the opposite of what I'm saying. Like, what I'm saying is, like, she just doesn't like the word feminist because she doesn't like feminists. Like, she thinks that feminists are anti-men.
But, right. Well, so.
But, like, she's 94. Who cares?
No. I'm just saying, like, in general, like if.
Her dumb granddaughter in the thing was like, why don't you call yourself a feminist, grandma? And I was just like, shut up. You didn't do anything.
I just like to be
you
like.
You ain't no Dr. Oz.
Her saying.
Yeah, we're just born. Bitch.
Her saying, like, you know, like, age stuff aside, her saying, like, I'm not a feminist, I don't like feminists, is like me saying, I don't like social justice warriors, therefore I don't care about social justice.
Right, exactly. Okay, now I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah. You were saying that, okay. Now I see what both of y'all are saying and why it does actually make sense, but I also do think that, like, Erica Badu won't call herself a feminist either. Mm-hmm. Like, that's ridiculous to be like...
She also defended Hitler and Bill Cosby in the same fucking
interview. This was before that.
I love her. I think she's amazing. But she She just doesn't give a fuck what anyone thinks. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. honestly, nobody should be asking Erica Badu a question that isn't about like what clouds feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that like there are so many people. I mean, I hate whatever. Before, I wish that like I had articulated this before the idea of like canceling someone existed, because I knew that there was something wrong with the fact that as soon as someone like did a bad interview, everyone was like, they're finished. Mm-hmm. There is something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. There is something wrong with the fact that you can say one bad thing that's not like overtly like white supremacist or like something just, if it's like, even if it's liking someone, even if it's supporting someone that did a bad thing that isn't Hitler. But I don't know, if you're a black woman, like, clearly you don't like Hitler, for God's sakes. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. It's like, everything should be taken into context, and everyone's just so fucking gleeful to just get mad at someone for one sentence all the time. And it's, or like, one word they won't call themselves.
Although, like, I mean, I relate to this feeling that mm-hmm. you're articulating, but also, like, can you think of someone who just, like, got completely dunked on and canceled for saying, like, one thing that wasn't, like, Hitler had some interesting ideas?
I mean, I think that Erica Badu...
Not to put you on the spot.
I think Erica Badu getting canceled is kind of stupid, even though what she said was bad.
Yeah, like, I didn't know she was canceled, but keep going.
Well, she just, like, clearly occupies a space that, like, doesn't have anything to do with this conversation.
Right.
That it somehow
I saw... See, Twitter's ruined my brain because it makes me think that anyone else even read that interview.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. My whole point is actually... And I'm not saying, like... You're right. My whole point's mute. I'm just actually saying that. I'm saying, like, no, it is... Yeah, because it doesn't really matter offline. And, like, there's not... Relative to the population of this country, not a lot of people are on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the people that are aren't using it all the time.
Yeah.
I hate Twitter.
I think that, like, when you... You're peeing.
Oh, no. I was going to go make more drinks. Does anyone want some more?
Let's all go. Yeah, we can't all...
Let's pause.
Yeah.
I don't know. People throw around genius in a like pretty dumb way in mm-hmm. culture. But like people who rise to
except for Susanna.
Yeah. Who is a genius.
Who is a genius.
Who is a genius.
And myself, a sexual genius.
A sex genius.
Yeah. But like Bowie was a fascist on air for like 5 years.
Wait, what?
I didn't know this.
Yeah. What? David Bowie.
I thought it was just an aesthetic thing.
No. David Bowie had a like couple year period where he was just doing tours of late night shows mm-hmm. talking about how fascism was a good idea.
Wait, was this when he was only eating
did he call
cocaine,
it fascism?
Milk, and cayenne pepper?
Did he call it fascism?
It wasn't cayenne pepper. It was bell peppers.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he was like an open fascist.
That's so interesting.
But then he ended up doing a bunch of like cool like anti-racist shit mm-hmm. afterwards. There was, I mean, David Bowie's like a complicated person, but by like, what I'm saying with this is, some people that get to that level have a 5-year period or a 10-year period where they just fucking lose their minds mm-hmm. and they can come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think people like lack that perspective, even though there are so many examples of artists who have done things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's a chance that eventually like people will just turn it around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But tell me about your, your experiment with 2 days in a row of 3 days, 2 days in a row of being sober.
Oh, this week?
Yeah.
It was nice.
So how what was it? So it was basically Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday. Sober. That's it. And then Wednesday shit-faced.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Wednesday shit-faced, Thursday sober.
Oh.
Because I did not end up having a cocktail while I was babysitting my niece and nephew. Or I had one sip of one cocktail, and then it made me feel worse because I was so hungover that even alcohol couldn't help because it was just like I basically had the flu. I gave myself the flu with booze.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got extremely obliterated Wednesday, and then other than that, I didn't really drink. I didn't drink Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, and then I drank on last night, but I only had 4 glasses of wine, which is not bad.
That's not bad. You have not been experimenting with sobriety at all.
No, but I did remember to start microdosing shrooms again.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, what's your question?
I was just gonna say, what is your average alcohol consumption on a given night?
I don't know, cause if I make myself a drink, it's probably, or honestly,
a quadruple.
if you get a cocktail in New Orleans, you're drinking like five times.
No, what? You're not. You're drinking one and a half to two. Yep. Because if it was five, it'd be bigger than the size that it is.
One and a half to... People pour some weak-ass drinks other places.
Yeah, I understand.
Honestly, like three.
Every time I go to a bar... Every time I go to the bar and they use a jigger to measure out 1.5 ounces...
At the John, you're getting 3 to 4 times as much. Yeah, if you go to the John, every drink you get...
That's why it's called the John.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they get treat yourself fucking as a shit-faced. Toilet for alcohol.
And the drinks are so cheap that they don't even care how many you buy. They just want to give you one and fucking... And get rid of you.
Yeah.
God.
The reason I bring up your vacation from alcohol and your microdosing is that last week's episode, I said I was going to take weekdays off from drinking. And then Monday I drank. But then Tuesday through Friday, didn't drink, right?
And nice.
Wednesday, had the shakes.
Ooh, how bad?
Not bad. It was just like Susanna was like...
You have the shakes.
You have the shakes. Well, I was eating a sandwich at Cake Cafe.
Did you crave alcohol?
Yes, but it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then
were you bored?
No, I felt horrible the first day that I hadn't drank the night before. I was basically Tuesday night I didn't drink. Wednesday I was like expecting to feel awesome and I felt like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday I felt pretty good. Friday I felt awesome in the morning and then I had a panic attack in the afternoon. Okay. Yeah. So it's like I can kind of see why I drink.
Right.
Were you overcome with emotional reactions to the world around you?
Yes, actually.
I feel like that's like a lot of the reason people drink habitually is because it's pretty hard to stomach the world without like full on freaking out.
I agree.
Especially like for like a... Because I mean, there's like a bunch of different like flavors of alcoholism,
yeah.
But the kind that you and I probably...
I think we all have the same kind of alcoholism.
Yeah, where it's if we think about reality for too long... It becomes unbearable unless there's some sort of like deafening agent to it.
Yeah, Friday morning. Yeah, basically we're all too sensitive and empathetic, and we're too good of people. Is I think the reason that we drink. Like Friday morning, I was in my little office. I do this thing in the mornings where I don't look at my phone, so I just like was completely off the grid and shit. And I was like sitting at my desk and I was reading, and then I put down my book. And I thought about writing a thank you note to someone for hosting me, and I started crying. Just I'm never gonna write that thank you note. It's like I never ever am gonna write it. It's just like I was just like writing it in my head, and I was like, oh man, I'm so grateful, and I like cried. And then
sweet.
In the afternoon, I was like, if I don't have a drink, I will die. So that was my 4-day experiment. I mean, I think
maybe we should all try as a pod to not drink during the week.
Benjamin is on the record several episodes ago being like, if we try to sober up, it's going to be the worst podcast imaginable.
During the week, not when we do the podcast. Yeah. And then we'll get drunker faster.
No, but Benjamin hates when people talk about sobriety.
Love it.
Yeah, me too.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain ways. I think like some people obsess over it.
Yeah.
In like a way that's probably unhealthy, but who the fuck am I? I don't know.
You know what people hate?
What?
People hate when I talk about how I'm an alcoholic very candidly without any plans on quitting alcohol.
Oh yeah.
They hate it, but I'm not doing it. At least I guess that I understand that like when people are like, I have this problem, I'm not going to do anything but listen to me.
Right.
But I'm not saying help me. I'm not saying I need help. I'm just saying like, I'm definitely going to die younger.
Support.
No, but also like I understand that like the main problem with the way that I drink other than like, things that affect me, like for the most part now I've gotten into the point where like it doesn't really affect other people that much.
Mm-hmm.
It like is hurting myself.
Yeah.
And like I don't complain like about what I did or what other people did that much. Do I?
No, you mostly complain about being hungover and wanting to kill yourself.
Right. And like I understand that like
you complain about other people a lot, but it's funny.
No, but like not in terms of my drinking.
No, yeah.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like in terms of my drinking, I feel like it's very much I'm hurting myself and possibly like things in like a professional or romantic environment. Subtly, like I think I'd be a much better worker like if I was sober. Obviously, I'm so much better at my job when I'm sober.
Yeah.
And I'm better at comedy, but like all those things are things that are part of my life, not really part of anyone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but people still hate it when you talk about it. And I also hate when people are like, I'm such a victim. But I'm like, I'm not a victim. I'm making this choice. I just know I'm going to live. Like when people talk about like making it to 70, I'll be like, oh, I know I won't make it to 70 because I'm an alcoholic and I'm never going to quit. They're just like, okay. Like it's very awkward for them.
No, I mean, I understand that. I have, and I think Benjamin has this too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like this thing where like if someone tells me about a problem but doesn't let me support them in any way and doesn't let me contribute to the solution, then it's just like, oh great, now I have this additional problem.
Right.
Like I don't have any boundaries between other people's problems and my problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, Benjamin's nodding. Like, and I don't feel that way when you talk about it, because it's like when you talk about your alcoholism, there is a self-awareness to it. And like you're, I feel like you're like,
you've taken the responsibility.
Right. It's my problem. Yeah,
yeah. You own it.
Yeah.
I mean, and also just like, I think that you, even though you say like, oh, I'm never going to quit or like, I'm going to die young or whatever, you also like are curious about harm reduction and curious about that. Like you're, and you've been like recovery adjacent a couple of times. And it's just like, I think that I don't really worry about you the way that I worry about people who are like, raging alcoholics and blame everyone else for their problems. And do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think that all of us, I mean, I think that is like a functional alcoholic isn't just someone who, a truly functional alcoholic is someone where it's like more of an ill, like it's like more of a health illness than it is a mental, social, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's hurting our bodies.
Right. I mean, this is why like people in AA smoke constantly.
Right.
It's not about like lengthening their lifespan. It's about
ruining their lives.
It's about ruining their lives. It's about like experiencing their lives rather than forgetting all of it. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like a much more, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's like heroin. It's like the way alcoholism is the way that heroin is portrayed a lot, but people are just, I mean, heroin's just like more vilified. And also there are functional junkies.
Right.
Heroin's bad. Don't do heroin.
No, I mean the reason heroin is bad is because it's not regulated the way that alcohol. Like if heroin were regulated the way alcohol were regulated, people would not die left and right.
Right.
And then we could have a conversation about recovery. But right now it's just like
if you're gonna die from heroin, it's your fault. We don't want to save you.
Well, I'm just saying the reason heroin's dangerous isn't because opioids are like horrifically more bad than alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
There's no quality control, and so people are like, oh, I'm shooting garbage, so I'm going to shoot a million grams of garbage and then they shoot a million grams of fentanyl, and they're like, oh, see you later.
I mean, I do think that, like, probably the effects of intravenous drugs are, like, kill you faster than the effects of alcoholism, but if you're doing comparable quantities, but maybe that's just, like, my own... I mean,
I just think that like the distinction in,
but the quality control is huge because like if every time we bought alcohol, we might be drinking Drano, a lot more people would die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I just thought you might.
We just thought you had something to say about heroin.
Yeah.
Oh no. I mean, I'm just listening.
Yeah. Oh, is that true?
Huh? Yeah.
Why is that something that you don't want to talk about? I can cut it. I can cut it if we have this conversation.
I don't know. Just it's.
Do you feel good?
Yes.
Yeah, I miss it a lot. Can we please talk about
Adderall?
I do, but I can't take it now because I'm on my antidepressants.
Ooh.
Yeah. They.
What does that do?
So Adderall, I think, is a serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine reuptake inhibitor.
Mm.
And my antidepressant is a norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. That's basically adrenaline. It's also called noradrenaline. So it's I would just like, my heart would fucking flip out.
Ooh, and, Jesus.
Yeah, and I have high blood pressure, so it's just stupid.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, I can cut the Adderall stuff. It's okay.
No, you don't have to cut it. I just think I have like less to say about alcoholism than you guys do too.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself an alcoholic?
You've called yourself that a couple times.
Technically, for sure.
Medically.
Yeah.
Medically, but not socially compared to other people in New Orleans.
I mean, it's not ruining my life.
Yeah.
I don't think it doesn't have to be ruining your life fast.
I don't think it's ruining your life either. Like, I mean, I think that you make worse decisions.
Mm-hmm. I definitely do. Mostly what I say.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, like if you didn't have Instagram stories, then you probably...
Yeah, a lot of people reach out to me and they're like, is your whole Instagram presence a cry for help? Yeah. That is a sentence I've received multiple times. And One thing that pissed me off about that is that I post about being hungover once to twice a week, mm-hmm. and the rest of it is like dogs, complaining about work, complaining about men,
but you're not
babies.
You're not including the stuff that you delete the morning after you post
that's
it
true.
When you're blacked out. That's
true.
The stuff
that's
that they're
the,
talking
that's
about.
That's the real meat. Yeah. But one time it was just the...
And the kind of people who are up early enough to see it before it gets deleted.
Well, it's usually...
Oh, I was just going to say that the, yeah. like, the people who have the lifestyle of wake up really early are the yeah. most likely to be like alarmed by it.
Right.
Like, whereas the comedian who wakes up at 4 PM is like...
Okay, I have a 9-to-5 job.
No, I'm not talking about you.
Oh,
I'm talking
yeah.
about like people...
Other people, right.
Yeah.
Other people who are in comedy. Yeah. yeah.
No, I mean, I think one of the reasons that alcohol snuck up on me this year, like I go through phases where it's like really, really bad and mm-hmm. then like fine and then really, really bad. And like, this has probably been the worst ever where like, I think when I decided to take weekdays off from drinking, I had hit double digits 4 times that week. And it was just like, and just like not even blacked out, like I like browned out once,
like double digits in drinks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And like,
I bet I do that too, but I don't think about it intentionally.
Yeah, I mean, just like,
but 4 times is a lot to hit double digits with drinks, because
right.
I usually have like 6,
and it just slowly escalated. I mean, and I remember Susanna telling me I think it was this past Saturday night, we had like had people over for board games or whatever, mm-hmm. and like at the end of the night or the next day, Susanna was like, "You were pretty drunk last night." And I was like, "Really? Was I like doing anything weird?" She's like, "No, I could just tell that you were drunk, which means that you were obliterated.
Yeah, because usually you can't tell at all.
And
yeah.
I like, and she informed me about like sex that we had that I did not remember and stuff.
So, oh, dang.
Yeah.
Dang, Susanna. Canceled.
I retroactively consent.
Wait, I want to find the text when I blacked out at Carrollton Station the day... Okay, it was the day school ended. This is the text from Jeff the next day. I texted him from bed. I woke up on his side of the bed at 10:30 in the morning. Mm. And I was like, I can only assume I was horrible because I was on your side of the bed. And I feel like I got hit by a car. And he said, "Oh boy, you tied one off last night." He was at work. And I was like, "I don't remember anything."
Yeah, one off is doing heroin. Tying one on is getting drunk. But go
oh,
on.
He said you tied one. Oh, he said you tied one off. Yep. He was wrong.
Yeah, I've gotten those phrases confused so many times.
Is tying one off heroin? I never knew
or
that.
Or tying off is like
tying off, yeah.
to get your blood vessels
like with a belt or
yeah.
He said tying one off. You nodded off on the ride home and while at a red light, I patted your knee to see if you were okay. And you were so out of it, you unbuckled your seatbelt because you thought we were home. I got you in the bed and your shoes off,
that's
no problem.
So tender.
You passed out immediately. I went and worked on my slides for his class until 3 a.m.
He was just practicing playing baseball.
he was putting Adidas sandals on over and over.
And when I got to bed, you were on the whole bed. So I tried moving you, but it felt like you were chained to the bed. I eventually rolled you over, but then you started snoring. Anyway, I'm really tired. Sorry, Jeff is. But the thing is, I used to be so much worse. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that even consciously.
Also, I think that your last day of work of the year. Yeah.
And so I like got home. I made dinner, and while I was making dinner, I was like, I put on my big tie dye dress, and I was dancing to Megan Thee Stallion, like pounding wine at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I had eaten weed gummies, and I made salmon, and I like made it wrong, so it was just like just so. Just basically fried butter salmon. It was delicious, but I got very nauseated and did not eat enough of it.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to go to Carrollton Station and drink just 45 wines and smoke 2 packs of cigarettes.
Mm. I mean, it's so much harder to identify someone's problem when they have self-awareness and a sense of humor about it. Because I think like a lot of what people see as a problem with someone else is like an inability to enjoy their life. And if you still are enjoying your life with a fucking objective problem, it's a lot harder. Because like some people are sober and hate their fucking life.
Right. And it's like, it depends what you want out of life. Some people die like younger than it's considered good to die. And people are like, they really enjoyed their lives. But that's rare. Most of the time when people die young like that, people are like, oh, man, they could have had it so much better. But like... That's one reason I don't know if I want to have kids, because the only reason I would stop drinking, I think, is to have kids.
Yeah.
But and also the only reason I wouldn't have kids is not because I want to keep drinking, actually. It's because I've, you know, the world maybe probably ending. Although when people talk about it, the world ending in 2050, that is if, and I don't think it's likely that we'll have radical change in the next like 5 to 10 years. But if we did, we're not to the point of no return for fixing this stuff.
Well, it's the point of no return is an interesting concept because
there are a lot of people basically that are already like 86 from the future.
Exactly. And it's just like, it's like we occupy a position, not to check your privilege, you, it's like totally fine. I'm not mad at you.
But
I'm
we're not gonna be wiped out before other people.
Exactly. It's just like, it's like
it's already happening. The people who
are
fucked
are the people who like go fishing for a living.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And like
and not
like, it's like basically they live on the coast, all their income comes from fishing, the fish are going extinct, and also their town is gonna go underwater.
Right.
It's just like, yeah, and people are gonna fucking die. There's
the wars that are gonna happen, yes, because of people. I'm not relocating, diminishing that.
Right.
Is, yeah, like, that's probably the scariest shit about all of it. Yeah. Is like
there's enough space in the world, but we cannot handle
there's
it.
Enough space and enough like ability for us to handle the horrible situation that we've created with the environment. Mm-hmm. Like, we have fucked up. But there are some people who think that the solution to this is like tightening border security
and letting the poor people,
right,
die.
This is the thing.
Basically creating like small ethno states, mm-hmm, children of men.
Can we talk, yeah, about Elizabeth Warren for just a second? Because this very concept is the turning point for me where I was like borderline Warren Bernie, and then was like, oh no, like
the green military,
exactly, like yeah, like
the framing, we have to get environmental climate change justice under in control, American so imperialism,
that, yeah, so that our military can remain strong, right, or whatever. So
when
that
it's the opposite, it's like the Americans are not going to be the ones who are dying in 2050.
Well, no, I mean, that's what she said. I think that's the implicit logic, yeah, is that like, oh, there's going to be a whole lot of immigration from people who can't have water.
Right. When we have to be able to kill them.
Right.
Right.
It's just, and like,
no, that is so, I mean, I think that what she's doing is like the same thing that Hillary Clinton, who was already not to the left, but like, well, actually, anyway, Hillary, I don't know, we're talking about Hillary Clinton's campaign. It's, yeah, like, yeah, talking about, I don't know, it's like going back home.
Talking about Jose Canseco.
Yeah. It's like when you leave your house and you're ready to go on a trip, and then you realize you left something that you need an hour in, and you have to go back. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just
can I read the tweet?
Do it.
The Pfizer tweet. Oh, it makes me so mad.
Oh, that was just a $500 cap.
Yeah, so basically Elizabeth Warren just tweeted this thing. And it is this. I put a screenshot in the group chat. Oh yeah. So says Elizabeth Warren. Pfizer promised it wouldn't raise prices and turned around and raised them anyway. We can't count on drug companies to tackle rising drug costs, so Congress must. We can start by passing my bill to put a $500 monthly cap on what families pay for out-of-pocket prescriptions. So that is $6,000 a year on top of your minimum,
yeah,
$300 a year premium. Right. It's just like the I think I finally figured out what my position was on the presidential, the Democratic primaries, which is that, like, I saw a tweet that was like, Elizabeth Warren thinks that what we need is ideas, that what the left needs is ideas. Bernie thinks that what the left needs is power, right? Mm-hmm. And, which I think is like a bullshit dichotomy, because like Warren has been like, put workers on the board of directors of, or the, is it the board of directors of corporations?
Of corporations.
Yeah. 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 So she's been all about co-determination for a really long time, but mm-hmm, it's basically like, I think what I realized is that Elizabeth Warren is relying on the ruling class to just grant, right, workers power, and Bernie is,
wants to take it.
And I think that is the key, mm-hmm, distinction between the two of them, is like, she's like, I mean, it's exactly, it pains me to admit this, but this is exactly what Nathan Robinson was saying when he was on the podcast.
Yeah.
Which was, Elizabeth Warren does want to save capitalism. She's saying this is the logical thing for the capitalist class to do, is to grant this power, because otherwise people are going to get really mad and they're going to take more,
right,
than this.
I don't, yeah, I know, I agree. I also think that like people just can't really, it's hard to conceptualize what I mean, unless your whole political career, which hers has not been, has been anti-establishment. Mm. Bernie's been saying the same thing forever.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for him, for no one to like him. More and more people have liked him forever. Mm-hmm. And it's he doesn't have anything to lose because he started with this position. But she's trying to reconcile, even though, as you were saying, her record is more left than her messaging. And
which is, nobody does that.
Right.
Right.
But she's trying to...
It's a weird move for her.
But yeah. she really wants the presidency.
Right. She can fucking taste it, and she's willing to make some compromises.
And that's what is scary.
And Bernie's 400 years old. He's like, I'm going to die 1 year into office.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's the scary part. But I still
got... I mean, everyone who has a legitimate chance at the presidency is extremely old. Trump, Warren...
Warren's not extremely old.
Yeah, I mean...
Warren's not extremely old. She's like 60, right?
Bernie has like 10 years on her.
No. Warren's in her late 60s, right?
Yeah, and Bernie's like
pushing 80.
That's
not extremely old for a politician.
For a president,
okay,
it is.
Let's look at the difference.
No, not for averaging.
What you're thinking is Bernie versus Biden. I think Biden is at least as old
as
Bernie.
Okay, God, Elizabeth Warren looks amazing for 70. She's 69.
Yeah.
But I thought she was like 60. But also, if she seems like she's going to live to be 90 at least.
So Bernie is 7 years older than Warren.
Wait, average age of American presidents. I actually think they've been old forever.
Biden is 1 year younger than Bernie. So any Biden supporter who's like, Bernie's too old, can suck my ass. But like, I'm not thrilled about voting for a 4,000 billion year old man.
The average age of all 44 U.S. presidents who have taken office is just over 55.
Yeah, okay. But the lifespan of humans... at the birth of this country was
up until
12.
Now, Ronald Reagan held the title as the nation's oldest president. He was 69.
And it's including...
Wait, really?
Ronald Reagan was 69 when he was
at the end of his...
In the beginning. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he had Alzheimer's by the end of it.
Yeah.
But that's including, like, Reagan and Trump, who got elected, like, as outliers for their age.
Yeah.
Everyone that has a chance is very old.
I've said this a million times. I'll be very excited to vote for Elizabeth Warren in the general.
If that comes to pass,
I'll be super stoked.
Same. I don't think that anyone except for crazy ass, like, Marxist tanky online communist are like, actually think that Warren is not a measurable, like, improvement from any of the other candidates besides Bernie.
But her, yeah.
But, like, she's still, like, comparing her to Bernie and, like, people who are like, oh my God, I cannot even think about the people who. Everyone who listens to this is listening to it because they already like us or Bernie Sanders. So it's stupid for me to even say this, but people who say that there's no material difference and that you only like Bernie because you're a misogynist is so fucking annoying.
The really fun thing for me is people who talk about Bernie's like congressional record and like he's too much of a political purist to vote for anything, and like he's never gotten any legislation, he's never accomplished anything legislatively. It's like he certainly has accomplished less legislatively than other candidates, but boy is he using his like presidential organization, his like sort of people on the ground thing to organize workers.
Yeah.
He's like fucking showing up to picket lines, which whatever, photo op, whatever. But like,
I don't think it's a photo op. Well, I really believe it because he's always done that.
But it doesn't matter whether it's a photo op or not because he's using that money and that power to support these worker movements.
The Fight for 15
Exactly.
I'm not even going to weigh in on if there is an underlying misogyny, like, around support for him, but the idea that Bernie Sanders is anyone's idea of masculinity.
Also, the idea that like the idea that,
man
like misogynist, yeah.
Stairs,
yeah.
So,
like, sorry,
there are so many men who hate women who would prefer so many women to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Because they hate.
I will say,
any man who hates women that much hates Jews more.
I will say that I have relatively similar spaces in my mind.
Jews are not real men.
I routinely hear people talk about, and this is mostly the case like closer to 2016, but I've routinely heard people talk about Hillary Clinton in like unassailably misogynist.
Of course.
Like she.
Well, she was married to a rapist for a very long time.
Well, you know, whatever. I'm just saying that the people who are trying to frame Bernie supporters as Warren haters is the thing that really fucking gets my goat because in terms of policy, Warren and Clinton are like black and white. And like,
yeah,
yeah, it's just like, I don't know very many Bernie.
And there are still people who are like, we just need a woman in office. There are still people who say we need a woman in office, which I think is so stupid. And I think we're all so stupid for still buying that whole thing of like, of course, representation matters. But like, what matters more for a president? Because there are people who, if it was between, like, if realistically it was between Harris and Sanders, we're like, you know what? I'm a leftist, but I think, well, they aren't. But like
Klobuchar and Sanders.
But oh my God, Amy Knoblocker, as Jean Gautreau called her. Amy, I love that. He was on the podcast. John and Cyrus have a podcast where he's like, Amy Knoblocker.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's a horrible cunt. Amy Klobuchar is a horrible cunt. Honestly, anyway, so is Kamala Harris.
But keep going. So the point you're making is that people who would vote for Harris over Bernie on the basis of gender are right. Fucking...
stupid. They're okay. Stupid people because representation does matter when you're casting a fucking movie. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're electing a fucking president of the wealthiest nation in the world... then no, it matters who's going to do the best job at it and who's going to, yeah.
I think the only people that... only people that think that kind of representation is the, like, end-all, be-all of it don't really understand that they have skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, whatever candidate is speaking to people to the point where they understand that, like... every person at this point on Earth has skin in the game because we're so fucked environmentally.
The stakes are really high.
The stakes are so high and, like, that an we can't afford to just do girl power with a prosecutor.
There's an argument to be made that you can always find a reason why the stakes are too high, mm-hmm. to like elect a woman over like a man.
But
with
also,
policy,
a woman being president would not help women. Obama being a black president did not help.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I went on a couple Tinder dates with a Clinton staffer, mm-hmm. and she really convinced
me. I used to really believe it would.
Okay, she really convinced me that, like, it's... I think that by the fact that we haven't had a woman as president yet means that we are not mobilizing half of our, like, intellectual capacity
as a
nation.
Right, but it takes a long
time.
Women
legit do not believe.
It takes a long time to do that so that the women that we're mobilizing are, like... actual women who are representative of the women who are actually affected by politics, mm. and not women who have enough money to be above right. whatever's happening politically.
No, I mean,
and you have to create a political machine that the people are a part of. If yeah. people are only like, if we have this kind of representative democracy where the only time people show up is to get someone who seems like them into a position of power, mm. then those people are not actually connected to any of the decision-making that's going to be happening. If someone can mobilize people around a common identity, and like whether that identity is class-based or like gender-based or race-based or whatever, if they can actually mobilize those people successfully to be a coherent body, then those people are successful politicians. But otherwise, they're, well, successful, like, leaders.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just successful politicians. They're playing people based on what they know they can get out
and
of those
people.
And
some people expect and, like, don't think there could be anything better than that still.
Just the...
That was the least funny take I've ever had.
Dude, I, like... ooh, what was that? Who was? Was that you?
That was
I just farted out of my throat.
No. It was.
It's usually
bubble.
Me. It's yeah.
It's usually Professor Reflux over here.
That's the sound that gets made by someone's like body anytime they've said something that was more intellectually ambitious than they can actually achieve.
Yeah, I just like I think that I for a really long time have avoided feeling this way, but the idea that it's like I have a friend bordering on acquaintance, like I haven't talked to her in a really long time, but she's a Guardian columnist now, and she said this thing about how Elizabeth Warren is outflanking Sanders from the left,
mm-hmm.
and her argument was entirely like identity politics,
mm-hmm.
oriented, obviously, because how else can you make
right,
that argument
right.
And like with the stakes as high as they are, the idea that like someone who's like more corporation friendly mm-hmm. could possibly outflank a labor organizer right. from the left is fucking insane to me. Like, there's just, I don't
yeah.
know.
The best take I've ever, the best take I've seen on this is Alicia Hawks. You know Alicia Hawks?
Mm-mm.
She's the only person who should be able to survive my improv genocide.
Well,
because
also she's been...
That's not, I don't think I was recording that, sadly. You fucking...
Oh, I laid into improvisers, and I will reiterate.
I said that good improv was better than good stand-up.
Oh,
and
God.
Everyone yeah. in the room
Michael has to quit stand-up
me.
Now legally. He either has to...
I haven't done stand-up in so yeah. long. I like the last stand-up the show I did was when I forgot my jokes at Benjamin's show, so it's, you know...
Here's what Alicia said.
Thank God.
on her Facebook. I prefer Sanders to Warren because Sanders is unequivocal about Medicare for all, and Warren right. has been hard to pin down. Also, Sanders wants to change the system more drastically, whereas Warren wants to work more within the capitalist market framework.
Yep.
Make life better for consumers. And lastly, because Sanders has built a grassroots movement that really makes me believe blah, 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 administration. It won't be just all policy wonks talking behind closed doors. It would be nice for the left to be able to unequivocally rally around one candidate, but there are real differences between Sanders and Warren. But aside from the gross Native American blood incident, I've always been a fan of Warren, and I think she's a much better candidate than any of the rest of them. So if she gets it, it will be all of our jobs to try to move her further to the left.
Yep.
Also, we should all give Mike Gravel $1. Please, no one be mean to me. Hawks out.
That's good.
It was a perfect take.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who has anything bad to say about that take is a fucking idiot, because it's just all objectively true.
Yeah.
But I mean, except for like her opinion on Warren, but like everything she said about Bernie versus Warren is completely true.
Yeah.
And like, she's a woman. Like, I hate to do that thing where it's like other women agree with me, but I am a woman.
Yeah.
Like, and people like all other women are like, oh, well, you just are like, it's internalized misogyny. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, fuck you.
It's super. Yeah.
I hate the idea of internalized misogyny, because everyone who actually is a misogynist as a woman, it's not internalized misogyny. It's just prioritizing saving your fucking money over like feminism, because you don't need feminism because you're rich enough. Mm. Like, there's no such thing as internalized misogyny. You're either a rich woman. Nah, whatever. Fuck
no,
you.
No. I hear what you're saying. I just think that
It's either wealth hoarding, just misogyny.
I agree that it's not just wealth hoarding. It's also covering, like, it's basically just like, fuck you, got mine. That mm-hmm. doesn't have to necessarily be about wealth. And it's just like,
usually, fuck you, got mine is about having money.
No, for sure. But just in general, like, there are. I think that a lot of women are structurally put in a position where choosing to be vocally feminist mm-hmm. Would fuck them. So, like, in terms of social capital.
So they instinctively, yeah. And I do think when it comes to abortion stuff, there is, I guess you could say, internalized misogyny. But to me, it's not so much internalized misogyny as it is just, like, personal situations that are all very specific that lead women to, like, pit it. To me, it's just misogyny. It's like, you either, like... I don't know, black people, like Bill Cosby's racist. He's not an internalized racist. He's just a racist. You can be like, I could be a misogynist and be a woman. Like, it's not internalized misogyny. To me, that's condescending, is all I'm saying.
I do think it's condescending. Keep going.
Like, bad listening skills. But can I go back to something we were just
talking about? Yeah, please. I'm sorry.
Get us out of this hole that we dug.
When you were saying the thing about, like, Alicia. It was like, well, she is a woman.
Yeah.
I think there's like a thing that happens, and you could say the same thing about like Bernie Sanders supporters or like DSA as an organization or just the left in general, where people talk about how there's a like white male problem with it, which is objectively true.
Extremely
like,
true.
It couldn't be more true.
Right.
And then... when it comes to people who don't fit that description, like, if you don't talk about those people, there's erasure.
Right.
But then you run the risk.
But you tokenize them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you tokenize them. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically that's it. And it's like, I think you have
to... I can tokenize because I am a lady. So no one can say I'm tokenizing.
Well, you're,
lady.
As the token woman of our podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, like, you have to, like, figure out a way to amplify those voices without, like, making people speak in a way that's representative of people that they don't necessarily represent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, like, that's the that's the thing with it, is where it's like, oh, but this person believes that. You just have to...
Right. Like, say it. That's why it's so frustrating, because when all these people are like, white men talking about Bernie Sanders, if you say, actually, I know a bunch of black people that like Bernie Sanders, then you're an asshole.
Some of my best friends.
Right. Because then you're... I agree Sanders. That, like, if you chime in with a... The only way you can chime in is if it's you. Like, you can't chime in and be like, my women friends like Bernie Sanders or my black friends like Bernie Sanders. But that's why it's so fucked up to do that, to be like, white men. And no, there's plenty of reasons to criticize white men. There's plenty of reasons to criticize white women. There's plenty of reasons to criticize white people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that identity does not matter and that racism is not extremely
Mary
very
Devin,
happening.
On the record as saying white people are the best.
No, white people are bad. I understand. We're all inherently racist. Yes. But most of the people talking about white men are white women. And as Ted Orphan points out, even though part of me thinks that he is a little bit sexist, his joke is true that, like, yeah, I mean, I love Ted. But I do love Ted. But I'm just saying, I think that part of his joke is gleefully shitting on women. However, it is true that white women are basically just as privileged and bad as white men as a block, as like a political block. Like, white men or white women are just as responsible for murdering black people, like just as responsible for, like, anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, this is why people have rightly pointed out several times that, like, the like Nate Silver class of, like, statistical wonk. Putting women, period, as a voting block,
right,
or whatever, it's, is fucking no insane. Or like making no economic distinction,
right,
between white women,
right,
makes no fucking sense. It's
right.
Just like,
I think that's why some women are so obsessed with abortion, because it's the only thing that, like, unites us, like, through... I mean, obviously we're obsessed with abortion because we want to have them, but, like, women in states where it, like, can't be challenged.
For fun.
Yeah. Well, right. Well, women in states where it's not going to be challenged, where it's always going to be legal unless there was a fucking federal amendment banning abortion, unless there was, like, opposite Roe v. Wade banning abortion,
yeah, yeah,
which won't, like, knock on wood, happen.
Okay, can I just, I'm sorry, this is a total, I'm thinking about, like two football teams. You got
the blacks and the whites.
What I'm saying is that, like, you know what? Fuck this analogy. I'm gonna dial it back.
Did you just realize you don't know anything about football?
No. The point is that the idea of gender as a voting block, as a statistically relevant thing, is like people named Michael in two football teams playing against each
yes.
other. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, there's people who. Right. Why would you fucking fuck with that? Why would you care about that stat? Like, there's. There is people who have economic power and people don't have economic power. There's workers and there's bosses, like, whatever. The fact that two of them share the same name is bullshit.
Right.
Like, obviously that's an oversimplification.
Because gender, I mean, there
is
are
a
things
real thing,
that,
but like,
I mean, I would say that, like, when it comes to women, I definitely think I can connect to women that the only thing we have in common is that we're women versus, like,
I don't know, people named Mary Devin, you would have a lot in common with in
yeah.
terms of people call us Mary.
I actually friended both of them on Facebook.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to let Benjamin talk because I feel like he hasn't talked a lot and I feel like he has a lot to say.
This is,
like,
his strategy.
I don't want to say that gender means nothing, but the idea that it means everything and that it's the first thing to consider, as you're saying, the idea that it's the first thing to consider, it's more than just having the same name and it's more than having...
It's like playing the same position.
Right, exactly. It's like you can connect with someone, or it's like, you know, being oppressed in the same way. Like, all women are oppressed, and a lot of women... through, like, social classes are oppressed in similar ways.
Right.
Like, abuse, like, a lot of... We share similar things. Go, say what you're
saying. I was going to say, or, like, if it's two football teams and it's rich people versus poor people, like, having a statistic that's, like, what are the black players think?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, basically what I'm saying, I'm basically saying the fucking DSA bro thing of, like, class is really fucking important.
Well, class is...
I would watch the fuck out of this football game.
Race and gender are extremely important and should never be left out of any political conversation. But
yes.
Class ultimately, like, money is what ultimately dictates absolutely everything in our capitalist society.
It's the physical manifestation of power.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So, like, even though if you compare a black man, like, a black man with money can still and does still get shot by the fucking cops.
Exactly.
Like, so I'm not discounting that. Yeah. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, black, rich black men aren't black anymore.
Right.
That's the dumbest shit in the world. Right. Like,
I mean, just like it's in terms of class, like what I'm saying is that when a cop kills a rich black man, that is a false positive.
Right.
Structurally.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It's usually a poor black man.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But also a cop killing a rich white man never happens.
Well, there was that, East African cop who killed a white woman, I think from a different country, mm-hmm. in Minneapolis. And of course he went to jail. He's only fucking one who did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Like, which, I mean, yeah, cops shouldn't.
Murder fucking people.
Cops should not go to jail.
That woman should not have been murdered. Yeah.
Cops should walk.
No, that woman should not. I think we all agree. We're not angry.
Cops are above the law.
I think we all agree that, like, that woman should not have been murdered.
But, like, that should be, like, the case that everyone studies about the intersection of, like, race and power.
Right.
Yes.
Because
totally.
Because if cops went to jail every time they shot a black person, they wouldn't be shooting black people all the time. And also,
or they would all be in jail, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a prison abolitionist, but cops should go to jail.
Right. Kate Root had a tweet recently that was like, what would the detectives do if we abolished prisons? And I do think that there would still be detectives, and I think that they'd be fun and cool.
They would just start true crime podcasts.
No, but you'd still have to investigate crimes. People just want to go to prison for the crimes. And you might not call them crimes, but like, people would still, the idea that if we abolish prison, oh, sorry, you go pee.
Okay.
People would still murder people, and you'd still have to figure out who did. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, there'd still be a community restorative consequence that, like, probably involved some sort of incarceration that was, like, not incarceration, because we wouldn't have a carceral state, but, like, we would have a place that, like, someone was forced to go if they murdered someone, because we would need public safety. Because there's still going to be psychos who, like, want to eat people.
Right. I mean, like, when people say, like, we need to abolish prisons, they're absolutely right, and I don't think that messaging is in any way, like, misguided. I think people should be that deliberate with saying something that might shock people.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. My point is just there will still be detectives.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people are still going to end up doing crazy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, there are examples of people, or of, like, communities figuring out ways to, I guess, take care of emergency mm-hmm. situations without having it be, like, what we consider modern policing. Like, Denver right now has a program that they're, I think, just instituting, that I'm kind of talking out of my ass about this, but it's basically, like, you get, like, people in crisis situations will call what's essentially, like, a community hotline, and then someone in that community will figure out how to deal with that situation mm-hmm. without having fucking
someone
armed
with a gun.
Police
right.
come try and, like, take someone away from society to work for free.
Right. Yeah, I think the reason a lot of people are afraid of the idea of prison abolition is that people's first reaction when you say that you hate cops is always like, oh, well, then who are you going to call when you're being, you know, raped or murdered? And it's like, okay, well, first of all, if I'm being murdered, I will call the cops. But how often do people actually get murdered in a horror movie style situation? Not often enough to even really fucking consider that. It's like something that's...
And how often do the cops really help?
Show up. I mean, I do think that if you were like, there's a murderer in my house, even in New Orleans, the cops would show up within an hour.
But you'd probably want your fucking neighbors to come first.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because they're across the street.
Right. But like, I do think that, like, I would call 911 because people...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If
there's a home invader, I'm not saying don't call the cops.
Yeah, I think that when we all say don't call the cops, we mean don't call the cops if you're worried about something getting... If you're worried about your property, or if you're worried about, like, someone being loud, or, like, someone wearing a hoodie, then, like, don't call the fucking cops. But if you're in physical danger and, like, someone has a, you know, someone's trying to murder you, I don't think any of us... The thing is, it's like, there would be a service. It just would be in probably unarmed, or, like you're saying, like, a community task force of, like, people who are gonna be restorative in their approach. So, like, the idea of being punitive rather than restorative doesn't help anyone. So you can, like, do a bad thing, and also, like, less of this stuff would happen. But
you should probably... I think what we need to do is we need to arm Jimmy John's drivers, because they have to get there quickly.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. So I know that, like, people talk about Scandinavia... Norway's in Scandinavia.
Yep.
Yeah. No?
No, it's Delaware.
I almost just slapped Michael in the face.
Ecuador. And,
wait.
And London. Those y'all, are the three Scandinavian states.
I have a point about Norwegian black metal after this, but I have to pee.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay, I see. Benjamin just put his finger and his index and middle finger into the back of his throat and made eye contact with me for several seconds.
No, like to my Adam's apple.
And MD just showed up with the bottle of vodka.
Oh my God, that's so far.
Yeah, Benjamin's proving to me that he doesn't have a gag reflex, and I am now...
I can't throw up, but I can gag.
Yeah.
I used to be able to throw up.
Be able to.
Like, make myself throw up.
Yeah.
I can't anymore, it's weird.
Yeah. Has that been something you've been thinking about in the anticipation of your wedding?
I just know bulimia just makes your breath gross and your teeth bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
And I already have acid reflux, so I'm not trying to... No. I'm not trying to fuck with that.
Yeah.
Esophagus. As I pour gross
so much tomato juice
into vodka that I will stir with my sunglasses. No.
I gotta say, I'll cut this later, but even our worst episode with no guests is fun to make.
Yeah, it is very, very fun.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
I love you too.
So, also, I have such bad... I was just, like, trying to make my camel toe less bad in these pants, and it's impossible.
I will say I did not notice your camel toe once this whole time.
Really?
I noticed your pointy nipples.
Ah, well,
but
yeah.
But other than that...
That's... I'm not wearing a bra.
And he is using her, the arm of her sunglasses to stir her V8 and vodka, which I refuse to call Bloody Mary.
It's a high school Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
If you're sophisticated enough in high school, too.
Yeah.
If your palate...
Yeah, and also you could tell that MD still has a gag reflex because she didn't put the whole arm in her mouth. She fucking very carefully... Meanwhile, Benjamin is just like putting...
I'm just finding any phallic object.
Any phallic
object.
My mic just stand
throating.
Into his throat.
Just throating.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So you're on Always Tonight.
Yes.
It's your show.
Yep, I'm hosting.
Yeah. We're going to be in that. We're going to be in the neck of the woods for the domino thing. I might just come and watch. Do not put me up ever again.
Oh, yeah. You're
you
on
quit
the spreadsheet.
Comedy after
sure.
One bad set?
No,
you
I'm
little
no,
bitch.
No. I'm not quitting. What I'm saying is that don't surprise me with an offer of a set because I will say yes and then
I'll
eat shit.
That's how I feel. I was so happy when you did that the last time when I was super drunk and high and I said no. Now, today, the key is I'm only drunk.
I was also like, you can go if you want to. You don't have to.
No. That was the offer. No, you're not pressuring us. It's the fact that you. Do you want candy?
Yeah, exactly. And having to say no to candy.
Exactly.
It's like if you're on a diet and someone's like, you want to go get a shrimp po' boy? It's like, no.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then they're mad at you.
Oh, man. I'm hosting Fuck Yeah forever now.
Wait, really?
For the indeterminate future.
Why?
Vince wants more stage time. Mm. I want more hosting experience.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think it's good.
That means Mary Devon is now booking it. So if anyone
no,
wants
I'm
to
not.
Be on the show,
no, I'm
you
not.
Just
no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Vince is still booking it. Vince is still buying all the promotional materials and doing the promotions. But I'm going to be hosting it until I'm comfortable. So it could be anywhere
if you feel
from
like
a
you
few
haven't
months
been
to
getting,
a year.
If you feel like you haven't been getting enough stage time in New Orleans,
then literally I'll shave my ass and you can eat the hairs from my bathtub. I actually like hosting, and it's because of my alcoholism. Because like. All that you have to do after you do your host set is just, like, not get high or drunk enough to fuck up your friend's name, the order of the show, like, very, very basic things.
Yeah.
And, like, last night I got not drunk at all but extremely high because I smoked the weed of someone who will literally murder someone if he's not high off his fucking ass. Like, he works at Dragon's Den and I love him. But if a man has a name that is also food, he could kill you with his hands.
So whoever works at Dragon's Den and is named Taco,
it's Bean. Anyway, but he is like such an.
That's a man named Borscht.
It's a man named Borscht. It's a man named Potato.
It's a man named Club Sandwich.
Carrot Head could not kill you with his hands.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. Carrot Head.
Actually, Carrot Top absolutely could kill me with his hands.
Really? Is he swole?
Did y'all see the...
He's famous for getting hella plastic surgery and going on the most steroids. I'll show you Carrot Top.
The reason that people started murdering each other in Norway... murders will happen even if there is not a prison... even if there's not an American carceral state, even if there was no carceral state, there will be psychos who get bored and murder each other. Mm-hmm. And so someone's going to need to look into that and be like, hey, stop being such a fucking weirdo, yeah. Or you're going to have to go to this. And I also think that, if you murder someone, you should just get to go to, a deluxe facility and live out fine just in a place where you could not physically murder
anyone. Think that if you are a serial killer, you just have to be rehabilitated the way...
No.
No.
Okay.
The way everyone else is entered into society, which is if you're a serial killer, you have to start at pre-K all over.
Killy Madison?
Yeah, and then you just work your way up through the grades, and that nothing could go wrong. What could go wrong?
Yeah, you know? There you go.
You know, just John Wayne Gacy in pre-K, learning to color, learning sharing is caring.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a way to just only employ people to, non-rehabilitate, but just, section off, if there was a way to, civilizedly...
Civilized.
No. We're going to run this back. If there was a way to
ostracize dangerous people,
civilizedly ostracize.
People who were like John Wayne Gacy or Jeffrey Dahmer, they shouldn't be murdered and they shouldn't be. I don't think there's any benefit to putting these freaks in,
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa. I called Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dude,
freak.
You are a SCRF, serial killer exclusion, very radical fan. Anyway, if they're these freaks, Jeffrey Dahmer.
There's no reason to be mean to them. I think that they should have nice stuff. I just think that they should be away from people and not able to kill anyone.
They should have a Nintendo Switch that does not connect to the internet.
I don't think punishment's an effective form of anything.
I agree.
I think everyone should be fine, but if you're dangerous, then you shouldn't get to be around people.
Yeah, I agree. I think that
besides professionals.
People who are raised Catholic are uniquely positioned. I mean, Benjamin is in this demographic, but I was going to say uniquely positioned to understand that being punished doesn't accomplish anything, but the opposite of
it does.
Trying to accomplish.
That's the reason
it makes you being spanked for having sex is the Catholic model.
I was on a leash as a child, and I asked Jeff to slap me in the face all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. That's good.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Mwah.